everyone. Welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills. I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft, and I'm very happy to be joined today by Robert Looney from Intel. How's it going, Robert?
Very good, Eric, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much for coming on the episode here. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about software-defined infrastructure, but before we get to all that, Robert, can you just tell us what do you do at Intel?
Sure. So I'm actually a data center marketing specialist here in our North America data center marketing group. Traditionally, I've been responsible more for the enterprise segment. And as things go for the enterprise, general industry, the area of cloud and the underlying infrastructure that delivers cloud services has been kind of the key marching area. And in the last couple of years, the evolution of software-defined infrastructure has been a driving force. So it'll work a lot in enterprise, driving SDI as part of your cloud strategy.
Okay, great. Sounds like fun. Well, really happy to have you on the show here. So let's, you know, go ahead and get started. So we're going to talk about software-defined infrastructure and SDI, and I definitely want to get your input on this. But from my perspective, when I think about SDI, I think about it's essentially a separation or an abstraction of hardware from control and decision-making capabilities. And it enables a whole new set of agility and flexibility and power within the data center that we really couldn't get before. But how does Intel think about SDI from your perspective?
Well, I think we think of it in very much similar terms. Software is definitely in control. The overall data infrastructure is actually there to serve the needs of the software. That software is there to serve the needs of the business. But what I would take a little bit of a spin on it is that really there's infrastructure in the term for a reason. That software actually has needs. It doesn't always have the same needs. It might have needs for higher compute, higher storage, higher memory, higher bandwidth, certain degrees of security that need to be present for the application to run. And implicit in all of that is there is some underlying hardware. But rather than designing for a service that meant I need to build a monolithic stack of software all the way down to hardware and it's all tied together, it's all certified, validated, and I'll get it to you in a couple of years. Instead of looking at that old approach for enterprise IT, we're actually looking at, hey, I need to think about launching a new business. I might want to open up a few new stores here really soon, like in a month. I might want to close them 3 months later when they're not profitable. I don't want to own that old, that big monolithic stack if I close that business. If the business grows quickly, I need to be able to very quickly scale it up. So you need to be building off of something that scales well, and the software-defined infrastructure is something that's meant to get you the velocity and the scalability you're looking to scale with your business. And for us, that means taking what we do really well, building standard servers to deliver the infrastructure for your software needs. Standard servers isn't a shame, and that's a badge of honor. If you look at what we do and what we've done in servers since we launched Intel-based servers back in the days of Pentium Pro and out through Xeon and even Atom, Xeon D, Xeon Phi, all of these things, we've brought standardization to the point where basically the world operates off of Intel-based servers, at least for the virtualized and for compute in general. As we get off into software-defined infrastructure, when we're talking about the storage needs and the networking needs, we're now looking more and more at where that software is seeking out a server, and that's an Intel-based server, whether it's for storage, network, or compute.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. You know, I totally agree. Software does no good without hardware. It's like food and water. You got to have both, and then you can really get a whole lot done. You know, from a Microsoft perspective, when you break SDI up into networking and storage, we'll start with storage. You know, you've got storage spaces. It's the technology that is available today with Windows Server 2012 R2. That's essentially storage virtualization. And, you know, it's an abstraction of, you know, the actual spindle disks from the concept of the storage itself. And so that allows you to migrate that storage from one, you know, set of hardware to another set of hardware, just like you could migrate virtual machines. And I think people are fairly comfortable with the concept of moving virtual machines around, but the idea of moving my storage around, that's fairly new still, but very, very powerful. And then the same way with networking, you know, the ability to abstract away that NIC and say, you know, I'm now going to move my subnet from this set of physical network hardware to a whole new data center, and I'm going to keep that subnet intact this is the kind of problem that used to boggle people's mind. They're like IT pros going, how am I going to not have to redo all my IP addresses and all the work that I've set up with my VLANs? Well, you know, SDI and storage defined networking gives you that capability. So really, really important technology from my perspective. But, you know, is it one of these things that's just a fad, or do you think SDI is important enough that it's here to stay?
Oh, I think it is here to stay. I mean, flashback 10 years ago, would you have said, I think this virtualization thing is just a fad. Nobody would want to actually get more out of a given resource. No one would actually want to be able to nimbly move a workload, right?
Right.
No one would want to tackle the management required to actually be moving virtual machines around at light speed, right? No one would want to do that in real time. No one would want to set policies for virtual machines. I think that it is definitely here to stay. There will be new innovations on top of basic virtualization that we currently see is required for software-defined infrastructure. I know you guys are doing lots of work with containers as well. There are lots of new innovations, right? But when you got into Wind Server and you brought in Hyper-V and you started getting into, I can cut up a piece, an individual piece of hardware many times over. And then I can manage that many times over. And in fact, I can automate that many times over. You're on the right path. And we're going to see that happen over time. It's going to get better and better with what Microsoft is able to offer. We work hand in hand with Microsoft on quite a few things to expose things that make that easier to do, make those workload movements more manageable, or to make the underlying performance required to stand up new resources less and less. I mean, with every iteration of Windows Server, the software gets better. It's matching to the underlying capabilities and the hardware to make it better, gets more and more optimized. And we've seen, you know, great success in terms of the growth of Wind Server, the growth of the use of Hyper-V, the growth of virtualization in general, and the growth of clouds. The move into SDI and doing so with Microsoft is absolutely, you know, growth abounds for us all.
Sure. Great. And, you know, Intel has been an awesome partner for us throughout the years, you know, creating a bunch of the hardware innovation that we're able to build the software on top of. But for people that don't know, can you talk a little bit about the hardware that enables SDI that Intel has built in the past and is working on?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, our days of PC in the data center with the Pentium Pro long, long time ago, we've evolved quite a bit since then, right? The general workhorse of our data center family, we have over 100 SKUs, optimized SKUs for data center workloads. The general category I would have said is Xeon, right? And Xeon comes in flavors of Xeon E3, E7 for large memory models. E5 is generally your biggest workhorse within the data center. There's also Xeon 5 for massively parallel computing, and Xeon D, which you see in more segment optimized. And then finally, we even have Atom in the data center, often seen in cold storage in large-scale data center providers, cloud providers. But across all those SKUs, it's one family. It's all Intel's architecture. Within those families, you'll see things that are tuned and optimized. But some of the core components in Hyper-V and Windows Server, you've got a lot of optimizations for our virtualization technology, VTX, VTD. In future products coming out from Microsoft, you're going to see quite a lot of optimization they've done around that to enhance security. Other things we have in the security side are advanced encryption standards, new instruction sets, which you optimize for so that even in a cloud or virtualized environment, you can enforce a performant encryption of data and of traffic. When you're speaking around that network and how you move things around across the virtual LANs, can I enforce and can I optimize for performance, even when data is being moved around? A lot of those optimizations, they're made available in hardware, but they're optimized via your software.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, from Microsoft's perspective, the enabling technologies are, of course, Windows Server. And, you know, today we have Windows Server 2012 R2. In the near future, we'll have Windows Server 2016 with a ton of the new functionality that you're mentioning there. And so that's going to enable a lot of the technology. But, of course, you know, in the cloud, we've got Azure and all the hybrid cloud connectivity between on-prem and Azure. And then System Center, so, you know, that's a suite of technologies that enables virtual machine management, operations manager with orchestration and automation, you know, all the world-class monitoring built into that. And then, of course, on the horizon at some point is Azure Stack, which is going to enable a bunch of the same functionality built into Azure for on-prem workloads. And that's, you know, people are really excited about that.
And they very much should be. You know, you asked me earlier, why do we care about SDI? From our perspective, it's, hey, there's a base underlying infrastructure hardware. And if you look at clouds in general, not to pick one out, but public clouds or private clouds, generally, if you're really trying to virtualize, orchestrate, and automate compute, network, and storage, it's generally going to be running on Intel's hardware infrastructure, you know, made from other people. But our core components, right, our CPUs and the like, you're going to find them in those environments. So you take a building block of base hardware, right? It can be very varied, but it's base hardware. It's standard hardware. You add in that the virtualization of that infrastructure on top, and that's when you bring in the WinServer and Hyper-V. Then there's an orchestration layer, and that's where System Center really comes in and many of the tools within System Center you just mentioned. And then finally, it's that automation layer, both for automating the placement of workloads on-premise that you mentioned with, like things like Azure Pack, and where you're going with Azure Stack, where you can automate the placement of workloads off-prem and on-prem. It's a really impressive maturation of cloud under the guise of software infrastructure and really delivery of velocity to delivering cloud services. It's a fun time right now.
I totally agree. Some people may think it's a lot of complexity, but I just view it as more options. You know, we're not really ever taking anything away. If you still want to just install your application on that on-prem server, you can do that. But now we have a whole lot of additional options for people that want to try to get more from their money.
Correct. And that's really what people are looking for. How can I get more for my money? How can I get faster time or velocity of services? And how can I get my payback for that to advance the cause of my business? And there are good things on the way.
Sure. All right. Well, we're just about out of time here. But if people want to learn more about some of the topics that you're covering here, is there a good place where they can go?
You bet. intel.com/Microsoft Data Center.
Okay, great. Thanks for being on the show, Robert. That just about wraps it up here for another episode of OEM TV, and we'll see you next time.